Hi, you're listening to Screen of the Crime.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Maggie, and this is a podcast where we talk about true crime.
And what would happen if your favorite TV and movie characters committed those crimes.
Here yet again.
We are the episode before we get test wrecked on this podcast.
That's the next one.
Get ready.
Oh boy.
Oh, I have a package. Just remembered.
What's the package?
I don't know. I think it might be stickers from the Morning Brew news site.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Wow. What a start to the episode.
What a out of context start that was.
But our listeners got experience in real time the joy of me remembering I have a package.
Yeah.
I love getting gifts that I send myself.
Oh my god.
So great. Any news and updates?
Let's see. It was parents' weekend this week.
It was homecoming weekend.
Yeah, homecoming weekend. The homecoming weekend. So did some homecoming activities. I saw Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, he was fantastic. What a beautiful man. What else did I do? I went to a hockey game. We were both there.
We won. Our school won hockey game. 4-0.
Yeah, it was a good game.
Yes. I heard from other people, even though I was there, that, people had said that this was, everyone kept getting beat up or whatever at this game. Mm. The hockey players, it was, a violent...
Yeah, there weren't any fights, but there were some...
There was a lot of shoving.
There was a lot of almost fights.
Yeah.
Which is always exciting for hockey.
Mm-hmm.
It's always an interesting weekend when it's parents' weekend, homecoming
weekend.
Because
there's so many parents here. My parents don't come up. Clearly, because I'm from Florida.
Yeah.
I can't afford that shit. But, it's really funny seeing all, my friends' parents coming up.
Yeah.
And all my friends are, super stressed.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, just so you know, my parents are going to be in the apartment, so please don't get shocked.
Yeah.
Hide the booze.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I'm like, you're 21.
No one can know I drink. What a mood. Oh, no, I turn 21 next week, and my parents always are just, every time I bring up, I'm like, oh, me and my friend might go to this one place. My mom's just like, no, she's like, don't look at your car, don't touch your car, and she's like, you can't drink ever. And I'm like, I know, but, let's be real, I'm going to.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, once you're legal.
Yeah.
Fucking go for it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
I still have... How many months do I have? 5, 6, 7, 8? About 8 months.
Yeah. A good amount.
That's too many. Too many months.
Yeah. Just go over to the border to Canada all the time.
I'll just keep driving back and forth in the car I definitely own.
Yeah.
Did I tell you? So I was there's a car being sold, and it was taped to the bus stop. And it was $750. And I was that's a good price for the car. What's wrong with it?
Yeah.
And there's this huge list, and it's oh, it's got this and this and this. And then right at the bottom, it's can only go 30 miles an hour. And I'm what? There's not even the speed limit on the road to my apartment.
That's terrible. Oh my god.
It's it's great for if you don't want to bike to school. And I'm
if you want to go slightly faster than a bike could, this is the car for you.
If you want to get honked at by every car on the road.
Yeah.
This is the car for you.
Oh my god.
But it's got heated seats.
Wow. What kind of car was it?
I can't remember.
Okay.
Sorry. I don't know car types.
Oh, okay. I don't know either that well, but I feel like I know slightly more than you.
I felt like there was no picture or anything, but I felt like it was a car, you know what I mean? Like a two-door.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
just
a sedan.
A regular old car.
Yeah, you know.
It wasn't a pickup truck.
When you do
a
little
minivan.
Think of a car, you're like, car,
yeah.
You know?
If you were to rent a car from the airport.
Yes.
That
Not a Honda Odyssey.
Yeah.
And not a truck, is what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah. Makes sense.
In other news, my parents are selling a pop-up camper. So if anyone in the Florida area would like to buy a $3,000 pop-up camper, it's got two queen-size beds.
Damn.
or full-size beds. I'm so sorry. Two beds,
mm-hmm.
A kitchenette, and a table with benches that turn into another bed.
Wow.
So if you're in that area and you go on Facebook Marketplace, look for that pop-up camper. They will also be selling it at a yard sale.
Cash only.
It's cash only, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Thanks.
So there's that.
My mother says we need to stop cursing on this podcast.
I feel like I've already broken that.
She's sorry. Like, Maggie, I need to stop recommending your podcast to elderly people because your aunt says you curse on here. And I was like, well, Mom.
Do elderly people not curse?
I think elderly people curse maybe more than us.
I agree.
Have you ever met an elderly person? Zero shits are given. That's all I have for news and updates.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else to say.
I'm still watching The OC. I'm on season 2 now.
I haven't watched any new shows. I don't have the energy or motivation to start something new.
Love that.
Commit to that, you know? But maybe I'll find something. I'm just going to rewatch like a bunch of like Halloween movies and stuff.
Sounds good.
Oh, actually, no. I have been watching a lot of Glee lately because my roommate really likes Glee. Mm-hmm. And last night,
yes,
we were watching the wedding episode. And, I have inconsistently watched Glee. I remember very few episodes or plot, but I do...
Which wedding episode, Tess? You have to be specific.
Oh, it's the gay one.
Between?
There's only one gay wedding episode.
Is it between Blaine and Kurt or between...
It's a double wedding.
Oh, what the fuck? I've never seen it. I didn't watch that far.
Oh my god, you have
watched this
episode.
I stopped very, very early in the seasons.
No. It's one of, like, the later... It's, like, in the last season or whatever, but it's... I'll tell you what happens because it's adorable. All
right.
But it's Brittany and Santana's wedding.
Yes.
And they have to drive from... Because they're in Ohio. They have to drive across the border to Indiana to get married.
Okay.
And, because it was before gay marriage was legal.
Got it.
And, then, basically what happens is, Kurt and Blaine, like, get roped in, because Sue and then, like, Brittany and Santana are, like, y'all, because they're, like, not together at the time, but they still are, like, talking and, like, they're friends. But then they're, like, you guys are, like, meant to be together. And so, like, they show up and, like, they get the little tuxes, and then, like, it's this whole scene where, like, they're walking down the aisle, and then, like, Kurt and Blaine originally just had, like, white on, because they were, like, the groomsmen or whatever. And then, they, like, changed into black, and everyone's like, whoa, what's happening? And then they all realize, and it's really cute. And it's really good. You should watch it. It's great.
Alright.
It made me very emotional, just because, you know, the content. And they're all very happy together. So, that's cute.
That's good.
Yeah. But I'm a sucker for gay emotions, so.
Yeah.
What's new?
A little bit.
You said with judgment.
Yeah, just a little bit. There's a scene in The OC when Marissa, she's back on her alcoholic bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's, like, sitting in her lawn chair next to her mansion, listening to her iPod, Nano.
Mm-hmm.
And... her mom comes over and she's like, Marissa, we missed our cardio Pilates class or whatever. And Marissa's like, oh, darn. And then she just puts her headphones back in and then her mom's like, Marissa. She like pauses her like iPod and she's like, I was talking to you. And Marissa's like, I don't want to talk to you, Mom. Uh-huh. And she puts her headphones back in and then her mom's like rips out her headphones and she's like, why don't you ever talk to me, Marissa? Why don't we have good conversations like we used to? Marissa's like, you want to talk to me about feelings? And mom's like, yeah, why can't we just have a serious conversation? And Marissa's like, fine. And then she just screams. And then she kind of like takes a breath because she's a small lady.
Uh-huh.
And then she screams again and then flips the pool chair into the pool.
What? Oh
my God. Then just storms off. And her mom's not even fazed. She's just like,
Holy shit.
And like, I think that was maybe the most relatable scene. I was like, boy, do I just want to do that. But like, it was, because then she was talking about it after. And the mom was just like, Marissa had a tantrum today. And I was like, a tantrum? She just screeched at you.
That's like, oh my god.
Like, she just went ham. I think if anyone ever, like, screeched at me like that, I would just, like, never talk to them again.
Oh, yeah, no.
It wasn't even, like, yelling. It was just, like, straight up screaming into
the
void.
It's like Big Little Lies when the mom just yelling at the table.
Yeah.
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 Damn.
All right. I guess we should get to the case because I have a quiz to take.
Okay.
As per usual on Mondays.
Yeah.
Because I like Halloween themes. And I read this post on Tumblr that was like, what's with the true crime community? I want to learn about art theft and heist and stuff like that. And all I get about are white men killing their wives or whatever.
That's
and
the
I
was most like, Tumblr sentence.
I was like, yeah.
I could shit, expect man. About the true crime community. So, but, like, that's who does, like...
Yeah. So then I was like, you know what? I'll do an art theft. So then I Googled art theft. Nah, I got nothing.
Yeah.
So I decided to do a haunting. Mm-hmm. And so, well, first of all, I'll take you through my process.
Okay.
I wanted to do a case, like the Black Eyed Kids.
Yeah.
So I did a bunch of searches on, like, creepy things that are real and creepy folklore. And then I got an article on... It was, like, folklore in each state, right? So uh-huh. It was, like, the Jersey Devil and, like, all this other weird stuff.
Bigfoot.
Skinwalkers. You know, Bigfoot wasn't on it, but skinwalkers were.
What's the other one?
It was for every state. Florida was, like, some weird thing. Goatman was on it.
Oh. What was Illinois?
I don't know, Tess. I didn't memorize it. Okay. There's 50 states.
I don't know. It's kind of like...
The Black Eyed Kids were Texas, if that...
Oh. I'm not expecting you to know every 50 states, but like...
No, I didn't remember.
It's like when you like look at like Zodiac sign posts and
you always look at your friends, yeah.
You always look at someone else's.
I look at mine and I look at yours. It's fine.
yours too.
Thank you. No one ever says anything about Tauruses, so nothing is shocking. Maybe they're just like eating food or like being stubborn.
Yeah, I have, like, my, for some reason, on, like, my Explore page on my Finsta, it's just all Zodiac memes, and, like...
Yeah.
Which is fun, but, it's, like, I'll say, there's some that, like, just get so specific, and they're so fun. I really love them. I'm not, like, a big, like, Zodiac person, but I do...
I think they're just funny.
They're so fun. Also, like, I'm a Scorpio, so, like...
She's horny as hell.
No.
That's what Scorpios are.
No, but I say Scorpios always get, like, really funny ones just because they're all, like, you're a demon.
Yeah.
You're a demon bitch.
Yeah. So then I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll do a haunted hotel. So then I was like, haunted hotels. Right.
Yeah.
And then I saw this thing, and Stephen King's name was it. And as we all know, I'm obsessed with Stephen King. And so then I decided to look up the Skirvin Hotel. I did all this research on the Skirvin Hotel. Found out was not the hotel Stephen King stayed in. So then...
Stephen King was at the...
Stanley Hotel.
Yeah.
Yes, I know that. I saw the S and I was like, got it. I got it, bitch. No. So then I did research on the Stanley Hotel. So I will be doing two haunted hotels.
Okay.
The Skirvin Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And the Stanley Hotel.
Yes.
However, not a lot of information.
Okay.
Because really, hauntings are fake.
I mean...
Not saying they're fake. I believe in ghosts. But I am saying... Why do you make that face?
I know you believe in ghosts.
Yeah. But I am
Have
saying...
Have you seen a ghost?
No. Oh. But I am saying... What if I was like, yes?
Well, I've seen a UFO, so...
I don't believe you. Okay.
I did.
Tess just came at me with an eyelash curler.
No. It's been written... I wrote it down in the Delhi Bible. So it's... it's in Word. It's written down.
The Delhi Bible is all... false information.
Well, it's true.
Okay. So I have both these hotels. It's just like, there's not a lot. Everyone's just like, oh, there's a woman in the elevator. And you're like,
yeah.
Got it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so let's start. The Skirvin Hotel.
Okay.
Built by W.B. Skirvin. In 1910, the hotel was to provide all the finest comfort to Oklahoma City visitors.
Whoa. The finest wine and dining hotel.
In town. When it opened in 1911, it was the first hotel in the city with...
Electricity? Guess?
No.
Women?
No. Air conditioning!
Oh.
Towering at 10 stories tall, it contained 224 rooms and a grand ballroom with a capacity of 500 people.
Mm-hmm.
In 1930, a third wing was added, increasing the size of the building to 14 stories with 525 rooms.
Cool.
It was shortly before the addition of the addition that things turned dark at the hotel.
Was there a fire?
No. It is said that W.B. Skirvin's Skirvin.
Uh-huh.
Skirvin? I have a teacher named Skirvin.
Okay. Oh.
Skirvin had an affair with the hotel maid, who became pregnant.
Damn.
Sounding a lot like the OC. In order to prevent a scandal, it is said that he locked the pregnant maid in a room on the top floor of the hotel.
Mm.
After giving birth, the maid was not allowed out of her confines. driven to madness, she hurled herself and the infant child out of the window to their death. Since then, incidents of hauntings have been reported in the hotel. The staff nicknamed the maid Ghost Effie, though the true identity of the maid is unknown. It is, she still wanders the halls, disturbing guests sometimes in the most provocative ways. The infamous 10th floor, formerly the top floor, seems to be the locus of the encounters. The maid's tragic story is not the only eerie thing that happened at the Skirvin. At the Skirvin, either. The hotel was supposedly the site of numerous seances and meeting places for devil worshippers, and at least 4 people, besides Effie and her baby,
mm-hmm.
Have died there, including a couple that committed suicide. So now I'm going to go through 10. It just happened that it's 10. I wasn't, like, reading a list of 10.
Oh.
Different, like,
paranormal experiences?
Yeah. Okay. From different people. You might know some of them. All right, are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Number 1, after losing a game to the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Knicks reported that they lost in part because of the ghosts at the Skirvin. Oh my God. Where eerie creaks and groans kept them up all night.
Interesting.
Sure, Knicks. Eddie Curry said that he slept just 2 hours one night. His room was on the infamous 10th floor, and he said that he ended up bunking with Nate Robinson. Quote, "I definitely believe there are ghosts in that hotel," Curry told the Daily News. There are some funny quotes in here.
Yeah.
Number 2. In 2010, ESPN's Bill Simmons reported strange happenings during his stay at the Skirvin. He recounts that his tale of staying at the Skirvin's 10th floor in a sidebar of a history on his NFL picks. At around 4:30 a.m., he woke to what sounded like a crying baby in his room. He got the distinct feeling that someone else was in the room with him. The crying was urgent and seemed to be coming from near the window. He flipped on the light and the crying stopped. He's not the only one to report a crying phantom baby at the Skirvin. Staff and guests have long reported these incidents. That sounds like the Stephen King short story and movie, like 1908 or 1508.
Oh, yeah.
1308, 1208. The hotel room.
Yeah.
With, what's his name? John Cusack and Samuel L. Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
What a good movie. It's one of the first horror movies I saw. It was creepy as fuck. And they have 2 endings. Like, what is this?
Oof.
What is this?
What is it?
He dies in one, he doesn't die in another.
Oh, that's different.
Samuel L. Jackson's crazy. All right, number 3. In 1994, a security guard revealed his story to a group who liked to explore the abandoned hotel. He related the story of Effie, though he said the events took place on the 8th floor, not the 10th. Effie revealed herself through the scent of lavender perfume, he said. Her spirit would try to seduce men, including him.
Ooh.
He's like, yeah, a ghost tried to seduce me once. On one occasion, the ghost told the guard that she wanted him to join her in the afterlife. She manifested in the truck he was driving and held the guard's leg to the gas pedal, trying to make him crash.
Damn.
Yep. Number 4. There are multiple accounts of Effie soliciting sex for male staff and hotel guests. I fucked a ghost. She has been reported to appear naked in the shower. A woman's voice has been heard by men alone in their rooms, propositioning them. One man even reported being sexually assaulted by an invisible entity.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know. Number 5. Taj Gibson of the Chicago Bulls had his bathroom door slammed shut for no reason. Derrick Rose and James Johnson also reported hearing strange noises that night.
Derrick Rose.
You know them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Quote, "I believe in stuff like that," Rose told ESPN. Great quote, Rose.
Great quote, Derrick Rose.
Number 6. Louis Williams, then with the Toronto Raptors, reports having his particular gear mysteriously transported from the hallway into his locked hotel room. Later, when visiting the hotel while playing for the Lakers, he decided to forgo the risk and checked out early. He didn't want to spend more time with Effie than he absolutely had to. All these sports boys.
Yeah. Is it all sports people?
You know, a lot of them are. Anyway, number 7. Clippers player Wellesley Johnson had an eerie... I think it must be next to a stadium, you know?
Well, that's what I'm thinking, because also, like, that would make sense for, like, Oklahoma.
It's a Hilton Inn now, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people are just staying there, you know?
Yeah.
Clippers player Wellesley Johnson had an eerie night at the Skirvin Hotel. When he awoke in the morning, the bathtub was full of water. Only he hadn't left...
Sorry.
It hadn't been running. Bum, bum, bum.
Weird.
And it was like that night before. It wasn't like that the night before. Johnson seemed to have encountered a ghostly maid who often turns down service. Offers turn down service, sorry.
Yes, she often turns down service.
Sorry. Offers. Number eight. During a stay at the Skirvin, Reggie Miller reported an encounter with the famed Effie. He says that he placed a water bottle on his nightstand when he went to sleep, and then when he woke... Are we ready for this? The bottle was in the... was in another place across the room. This is so stupid.
Listen, that would freak me out, though.
No, I know, but it's just like, it's like, he put a bottle here, and when he awoke, it wasn't there. It just sounds like a shitty, scary story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, remind me, after you're done with your things, I'll tell you about the haunted doll.
Which one?
The one that is in the office right now.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, a real haunted doll. Sorry.
It's haunted, but I know what you mean. It's not a famous one.
Yeah. Number eight. Number nine, I meant. From 1988 to 2007, the Skirvin Hotel stood closed. During this period, its reputation from being haunted grew. Security guards hired to keep out thrill seekers and homeless squatters reported strange events. It wasn't until the Hilton Group bought the hotel that renovation started around 2005. Mm-hmm. Number 10. Staff at the Skirvins have reported maid carts moving on their own. It is seen as an indication of the maid Effie still performing her duties from beyond the grave. They also report hearing the cries of phantom baby echo through the halls.
Exciting.
That's it. I'm done with the Skirvin Hotel.
Okay.
Let's do the Stanley Hotel.
Oof.
All my information is from a site called Out There Colorado.
Oh, after this, I'm going to rewatch the Rumor and Shane... and friends went to the stayed overnight at the Stanley Hotel.
Oh, was that the hotel I went to?
Yeah.
Is that the one with all, like, the stupid... like, when they had, like, the glass door thing that moved? It was like a mirror, and they opened it, and it was, like, another person's room.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Or, yeah, there was, like, a door that opened to someone else's room.
Yeah.
But there was, like, other stuff in there that was, like, kind of...
No. I know. I know there was other stuff. It wasn't just the door.
It wasn't just the door opening. Yeah, that's what it is. So.
All right. I don't know why I spelled Colorado like that.
Okay. I'm going to watch that after. That's going to be fun.
Okay. Okay. In the fall of 1974, writer Stephen King and his wife stopped for the night at an old hotel overlooking the city. I don't know if you've guessed, but it's in Colorado.
Yeah.
Okay. Once among the grand dames of the West, the Stanley had fallen on hard times and was a ghost of its former Edwardian era self. Cool. Yeah, right? Shit. Shit. Out there, Colorado. I like the writer of this. I have some of his excerpts at the bottom. upon arriving, the king learned... the king. The kings learned the hotel was closing for the winter and only a skeleton crew remained. Sounds a little bit like... sounds like a little like a movie.
Listen, this
like
is...
like a novel.
To be fair, I'm just gonna in advance
we,
say this.
We are doing
We're going
the Shining.
To do The Shining. Because, like...
because, like, why not? Like, it's not... like, yes, this is definitely... this is The Shining Hotel. But also... why can't we talk about The Shining?
Yeah, like, is that what you want me to talk about some other shitty movie? Do you want me
to talk about... no, we
want
to talk about The Shining.
Do you want me to talk about Hotel for Dogs? Because I will.
She's ready. Nonetheless, the couple had checked into room... what room, Tess?
Oh, I don't know.
Not the one from the movie. 217.
217.
And I would like to stop you before you try and you throw conspiracy theories at me about how... the moon landing was fake, but...
I wasn't gonna go there, but now that you said it...
but as we both
will.
Know, because we both watched the Dead Meat this Kill Count...
mm-hmm.
The only reason the room number was changed to 237 was because the Stanley Hotel does not have a room to 237, and they didn't want to sway guests away.
maybe.
It's a fact. Thank you. I work at the Stanley Hotel now. So he checked into room 217, the presidential suite, as the only paying guest.
Oh my god.
Wouldn't that be fun? If you had a hotel to yourself.
Listen, all I'm saying is, going, you and your wife, driving out in the middle of Colorado, staying in a haunted hotel.
Dude, I was looking at photos of it. It's so beautiful.
I
mean, clearly, it's in the movie, but winter, it's so winter beautiful.
Winter break, let's go.
Colorado.
Road trip. My car won't make it, but no. We will.
But we could recreate the scenes with the buggy on the roads.
Yeah.
Oh my god, we'd be The Shining.
Who's who, though?
You're definitely the crazy guy.
No.
The crazy guy.
I want to be the
Jack kid. Torrance, I'm sorry. I know his name.
Jack Torrance. Well, what's Shelley Duvall's? Hold on. Wait. Oh my god, I should know this. I just watched The Kill Count for today. Oh my god, what is her name in the movie? It's, are you gonna look it up?
I'm looking. Okay. Wendy.
Wendy? Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Damn.
Just kidding. I'm the boy on the tricycle.
Danny?
Bad man. Okay. Hi. I'm not done with my notes. That night, the author had a nightmare in which he saw his young son being chased down the hotel's long, empty corridor by a predatory, possessed fire hose. Mm-hmm. He woke drenched in sweat and stepped out to the balcony to smoke a cigarette. By the time he stepped it out, he worked out the bones of what would become his third novel and first bestseller, The Shining.
Whoa.
Creepy. Stanley earned a reputation as a paranormal nerve center long before King's arrival at the hotel. Completed in 1909 as an elite 420-room
420 plays it.
retreat by entrepreneur and inventor F.O. Stanley, co-founder of the Stanley Motor Carriage Company.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. During the years since his death in 1940, the apparition of Mr. Stanley reportedly has appeared to guests checking in at the reception desk, and claims hold that the phantom of the late Flora Stanley, a pianist, sometimes can be heard tickling the ivories. Sorry, in the empty music room. While some spots are...
I hate that saying.
Tickling the ivories?
Yeah. It does not sound like something that anyone should be doing.
Okay. While some spots are more spiritually active than others, guests have reported strange occurrences, shadowy figures, eerie laughter, flickering lights, and items moving on their own. In every room on the hotel compound, which includes a century-old lodge and a concert hall, in recent decades, the campus has hosted countless paranormal investigations, including teams from Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures and Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters.
Ghost.
Which one do you like better, Ghost Adventures or Ghost Hunters?
I've only watched Ghost Adventures.
Yeah, I like Ghost Adventures better.
Yeah. Zach Baggins.
Ghost Adventures.
Man with a mission.
Pros aren't the only ones who get to play here. That's a little bit from the author. I love that. Overnight visitors opting for the Ghost Adventure package are assigned their... It's in quotes. Checks in. I would like the Ghost Adventure package.
Winking. Zach Baggins.
Zach Baggins. Where are you?
Listen, all I'm saying is that would be a pretty sweet gig.
No, I think we should do it. We should spring break.
Listen,
the Stanley.
I have a fun Halloween activity, but it's slightly illegal, so I'm not going to say it on the podcast, but remind me to tell you after. Sorry for this.
Does it have to do with a certain Rochester hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
No.
Pussy.
I don't do things. I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I could just watch the proper people do it for me.
You don't want to climb in a window?
No.
Okay.
I don't own proper shoes for that. They're assigned rooms in the infamous fourth floor, a pocket-sized electromagnetic... electromagnetic field reader and other ghostly graphs, including a mug bearing the chilling message, Red Rum. Tess. Tess.
Yeah.
I know we're not married, but honeymooning with the Ghost Adventure Packet at the Stanley Hotel.
Listen. Okay, but like, picture this.
Picture this.
Not to plan on our lives, but... Dead Meat, for example, they're engaged and they have their little horror movie thing. We could be like the paranormal couple of podcasting, and then we can have we can go have our like honeymoon thing at the. That sounds like a plan. So.
Oh my god. will graduate college, and then I'll be like, my mom will be like, what do you want for your graduation present? And I would like two, I would like the Ghost Adventure packet reserved at the Stanley Hotel, Mom, for me and Tess. And my mom will be like,
My mom will be like, oh, so like, your friend, air quotes, you and your friend are going to this hotel together.
And be like, yeah, Mom, like, me and my friend are. Tess has a photo of me and her as her, like, background from, like, apple picking, and it's really cute. And just so we're all clear, Tess and I are not dating. And it's really cute, but, like, for her mom probably definitely thinks we're dating, especially because this weekend I couldn't hang out with them at all, and so her mom probably thinks we broke up or something. And then she saw your wallpaper, your phone background, and then you changed it?
Well,
God. Listen. What's your dad gonna think of me? I love Dennis too much.
Oh, no. I told them that you were busy. Like, I said,
sounds like a lie to me.
No, of course. My dad wanted to see you, but,
I wanted to see your father, too.
Yeah. But, no, yeah. I would say my phone screen is us apple picking. It's only a little gay, but that's okay.
It's really cute because you can't tell we're apple picking at all. We're just standing in a field next to each other, and I look really short.
Yeah, I say. You also put it on the Instagram.
It is.
It is on the... That
I think it's, like, the second photo of us, yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's multiple photos in the one apple-picking photo.
Oh, I know that. All right.
Wow. So glad you look at our Instagram page.
No,
hi,
I...
Hi, Maggie.
I for sure do. I just didn't know if you would put that one on there.
I think it is. I think it's a cute one. Because it's not on mine.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's there.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Anyway, you get a mug that says Red Rum on it, which is murder spelled backwards for all you hooligans. Quote, I always tell my tour group, I've investigated castles, dungeons, and buildings older than the U.S., and the Stanley is on the top of that list, said author and part-time paranormal investigator Richard Estep.
Bro, next week I'm gonna be fucking smashed.
Yeah. Who leads ghost tours on weekends? A native of Leicester, England, Estep grew up in a purportedly haunted house that never gave up the ghost to him personally, but left him with a spirited passion for the otherworldly. In 21 years of investigating for books and television shows on both sides of the Atlantic, Estep has spent time living in England's oldest witches' prison and the haunted hospitals in Utah, and a new TV show covering some of his intriguing cases is airing, when this was written on Sunday, on Destination America. Quote, I'm convinced the Stanley is one of the more active locations out there, he said. They deeply love this hotel. And by they, he means the ghosts.
Yeah.
As hauntings go, the hotel is something of a phenomenon. Quote, usually haunted locations have a history with lots of blood and death, but the Stanley doesn't have that, which often takes people aback, Estep said. They want to know how many deaths have occurred here, and it's about as many as other hotels. Not that many.
Mm-hmm.
The location certainly has seen trauma, however. In 1920, a gas leak led to an explosion in room...
217?
Yes. That destroyed the second floor above the main dining hall and nearly killed a chambermaid, Elizabeth Wilson. She ultimately recovered and returned to her job, which she held until her death at age 90 in her home in Estes Park. Soon after, the hotel started receiving reports of a spectral chambermaid hovering and walking through closed doors in the rebuilt guest quarters. Unmarried couples sharing beds complained of an invisible force wedging them apart as they slept, and single men woke to find their bags had been packed and left outside the door. quote, Mrs. Wilson does what she wants to who she wants, as Steph said.
I love her.
Yeah, she's a queen.
You're not married? Get out! So we'll have to go after we're married.
Of course.
Well, we might have other issues prior to that.
Yeah.
It might be the whole...
We'll just sleep in different beds. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll be romantic. despite numerous reports, sightings of spectral youths on the hotel's fourth floor and erstwhile attic space, records show no child has ever died there. Quote, places get ghosts for different reasons, such as tragedy or bloodshed, but also people tend to haunt places where they're very happy during their lifetime, Estep said. I sense we're seeing people coming back because they deeply love this hotel.
That's kind of cute.
I know, right?
Like, it's not like
a... Like, damn, I really love my vacation. Let's go back to the hotel as ghosts.
That's like, you know what? That's how you should pick Yelp reviews from now on. Whatever hotel's the haunted, it's like the most haunted, that's the best hotel.
Oh, you gotta research its, like, history. It's like, okay, so no one's died here, but there's a lot of ghosts. They must love it there.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi. generally speaking, how wherever you find people, you find ghosts, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Danielle Moon, 11 years old, and her parents traveled to Estes Park from Fort Morgan to see the famous elk and hear their loud, distinctive bugling. Bugling? noises.
Yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. They came to the Stanley to see sightseeings of different nature. Hoping for a paranormal experience, the family set out to wander the hotel where they met a member of the cleaning staff who shared insights about the place's non-corporal guests. They're ghosts. She said they didn't like vacuums, said Moon. The ghosts hate it when vacuums are on, so they turn them off.
They're like dogs. Or cats.
Yeah.
Cats hate vacuums.
I hate vacuums. The noises of vacuums.
Yeah. Oh, no. I once was holding a cat while a vacuum turned on, and I got shredded. Yeah.
It comes as no surprise that the hotel's most requested room is...
217.
Yep. It is the one where King stayed on that fateful visit more than 40 years ago, a space that allegedly drove Jim Carrey to flee in the middle of the night and never return when the actor was on location filming 1994's Dumb and Dumber.
Interesting.
The Stanley's true ghost central and most notorious active locale is two floors up, however. When King visited, he supposedly had the run of the empty hotel and wandered up here, the fourth floor, mm-hmm. when it was wide open attic, stretching from dormer to far dormer, dimly lit and filled with sheet-draped furniture. Today, it holds 25 guest rooms. Room 413 is the author's room. At the peak of the hotel's southwest corner with views of the front grounds. So this is, like, direct from the article because he, like, gives his own little rendition of what he got.
Uh-huh.
It was after midnight by the time the ghost tour ended and I made my way back upstairs past the second floor landing outside room 217 where a group of adults sat cross-legged on the floor, heads bent over cell phone cameras and EMF meters. They looked up. I nodded a good luck with the ghost and continued to my room at the top of the stairs. In true historic fashion, the main house of the Stanley is not air-conditioned, so first thing I've done after arriving early in the stuffy top-floor space was open the windows. Surely a gust through one of them is what swept the door closed behind me with a soul-drawing slam. And there's certainly a practical and rational reason why. A few minutes later, I heard a quiet click and turned to see the same door slowly opening on an empty hallway.
Ooh.
As the step said, it's an old building, no straight lines. I rewatched a few scenes of The Shining for good measure, killed the TV, must have finally drifted off. This is until a blood-curdling shriek ripped me back awake, prickling with adrenaline. The scream came again, echoing through the sleepy valley outside my window. It sounded like a child in terror for his life. And I wonder if Stephen King heard the elk too.
Oh!
Right? It ended really well. I really like this author.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ugh. Road trip. That's all I have to say.
Dude, this place is beautiful. Like, not even the fact that it's, like, a fun haunted hotel. It's just Colorado. Gorgeous.
I always wanted to go to Colorado.
It's, like, in the mountain. We've all seen The Shining.
We've all seen Colorado.
It's so pretty. So gorgeous.
Well, the hotel from The Shining is not the one that's the aerial shots are of, though.
It's not? Which one is that?
The one, so...
Is that in Oregon?
It's in Oregon, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The actual Stanley Hotel isn't in The Shining.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Anyway,
but in the article, there are pictures
of the Stanley Hotel.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull them up real quick.
It's like on a hill, and there's, like, mountains behind it.
Mm-hmm. It's, like, kind of a similar setup to the actual one.
I mean, duh.
Stanley Hotel.
She's big sexy. There she is. Big sexy.
Oh, yeah. That's, like, dope. Wow.
Yeah.
Nothing better than that.
Anyway.
Yeah.
There will be a picture of the Stanley Hotel on the Instagram page.
Post some hotel pics.
I'll post a picture of us at the Stanley Hotel.
Yeah.
Got a little maze.
We percentage of all the revenue from this podcast is to get us to the Stanley Hotel.
Please donate to our GoFundMe to take me and Tess on our not honeymoon trip to the Stanley Hotel.
Yeah.
We need to go. Anyway, your turn.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, obviously, we're going to do The Shining because why the hell not? You know?
Why wouldn't we? Yeah.
Usually, again, it kind of is like, I typically don't do, like, the movies based off the actual thing, but, like, this is, like, we're going to talk about The Shining. It's the best horror movie of all time. Yeah.
I mean,
it's not really a horror movie, though.
It's a very good movie.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's a horror movie, don't get me wrong, but it's not, like, your typical horror movie, so I wouldn't count it as the best horror movie of all time.
Yeah, it might not be the best horror movie, but it is, like, probably one of the best movies.
I mean, it's a Stanley Kubrick film, so.
Yeah. We've all... Considering how many Stanley Kubrick films I've done for this podcast, we all know how much I love his movies.
He's crazy.
So, quick rundown of The Shining. And also, I would like to preface this with, I have not read the book.
I have read half the book.
I've read, like, a third of the book. So...
I've read a third of the book, and then I listened to the other... up to half of it on audiobook, except I was sharing this Audible account with my friend, Cameron, who's definitely listened to the whole book, because it's her Audible account. But what happened was, when you share an Audible account... Hi, Audible, please sponsor me. Audible. It goes back to whoever's listening to it, so I didn't know where I stopped, and also I was listening to it during a job, so I was struggling.
Audible, you should sponsor us, because I have not worked for you, but I've uploaded to you and recorded an audiobook, so, like, I've been there, you know? So, like...
And I really love reading. Hi, my name is Maggie, and I love reading.
Yeah.
Hi, Audible.
Hi, Audible.
Sorry about that.
But, yeah, so... I'm doing this, like, purely based off of the movie, because there are a lot of differences.
But I will throw in my tidbits about the novel, but this is about the movie, because I watched a one-hour documentary today on the movie.
Yeah. Like, I know some stuff about the book that, like, I know the movie just doesn't go into.
And we're very excited for, what is it called?
Doctor Sleep?
Sleep. Which I thought was a show, but now I think it's a movie. Yeah. With... older Danny.
Yeah.
Played by the guy from Star Wars.
Ewan
McGregor.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, so The Shining basically is, there's this hotel that is, for winter, they need a caretaker. And Jack Torrance has his wife Wendy and then son Danny. And they, like, he gets the job out of this hotel. And Jack Torrance... the movie keeps all the characters pretty cryptic. Like, you don't really dive into their, like, relationships too much. I know it does in the book.
Yeah.
Oh, but, like,
fuck it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the books are their point of view. Like, every chapter it goes either Danny, Wendy, or...
Yeah.
Or, Jack.
Yes. But anyway, so, I think the movie, I feel like, very much focuses on Jack.
I agree.
Yeah, like, you get a little bit of Danny, but, like...
Well, you don't, like, they're like inner monologue.
Yeah. So anyways, but Jack takes his family out, and, like, you kind of, like, in the beginning it's like he's a little weird, but, like, he's not,
he, like dislocated his son's arm,
his son's shoulder, because he was drunk one night, and so, like,
but he stopped drinking after that.
Yeah, so you're like, it's kind of ambiguous as if he's, like, a good father or not. And, like, how abusive is he?
Yeah, you, like, know, is like, he an abusive,
like,
man?
Yeah, like, in the beginning, he seems, like, totally fine.
Because Wendy plays it off. She's just like, you know, you do it to your kid all the time. You just, like, pull him. Yeah. And you, like, did it too hard. It's really funny. Tess is looking at me, and, like, I know we're thinking the same thing. We both watched the same video. We're definitely quoting it.
Yeah, no, we watched the same thing today. Yeah, is it? This is gonna be a tough one.
I watched it 2 days ago, or 1 day ago.
Oh.
I didn't watch it today. I'm ahead of you.
You usually are.
I'm subscribed.
I am too. I haven't been on YouTube that much lately. Anyways, so they go to they get the job, so they're all alone, and Jack's a writer, so he's, like, excited about
and
the time
teacher.
To be alone and, like, write. And it's this, like, big, you kind of, like, a lot of time, I think, like, it jumps forward a month, and then it gets, like, the time moves slower. But, like, they've been here, and, like, Danny's just riding his tricycle around. Like, they're kind of just chilling. He's, like, trying to write, but, like, he has writer's block and is, like, having a lot of trouble. And, like, as he's getting crazier, you kind of, like, see him writing more. But basically, like, all this kind of, like, weird stuff starts happening where it's, like, Danny has, like, a bruise on his neck, and then, like, Wendy's like, did you do this? And he's like, no, I didn't. And then it's all, like, suspicious, and, like, Jack's just, like, getting very aggressive towards Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's kind of this whole, like, cabin fever thing of, like, you know, going crazy inside.
Yeah.
And, basically, like, I forgot, like, how, what else. It's just a slow escalation, then all, like, everything goes crazy. But, before we get to, like, the whole, like, action at the end, like, Danny, the kid, has this kind of, like, psychic...
He has a power called The Shining.
Yeah.
Which goes in great detail in the novel because it's, like, a literal superpower.
Yeah, and no detail in the movie.
In the movie, you think he's a weird kid. And yeah. The only reason you would know that he wasn't a weird kid is because the, is he a cook?
The, oh, it's one of, like, the other...
His name is Halloran. I think he's, if I'm remembering the novel correctly, when they come into the hotel, he, like, speaks to Danny, but, like, he's like, you want ice cream? But it's, like,
it threw his mind, yeah.
And then he's like, hi, Danny, you have The Shining. A lot of people have The Shining, and that's what Dr.
Sleep
is about. Like, it's about, sorry, I keep forgetting it. It's, like, about, like, all the people with the different Shining powers. But basically, in the novel, he can hear people's thoughts, but then that also, like... And he like, talks to this ghost, which in the movie is translated to the little finger thing, where, like, yeah. The guy in his that lives in his mouth or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a ghost kid that he speaks to.
Oh.
That, like, gives him visions and stuff. Hmm. But when he goes to the hotel, he, like, gets the hotel's shit visions or whatever, too.
Yeah, because he's, like, so, because at the very beginning, like, when Wendy's, like, oh, like, do you want to go, like... move to this hotel, and he's, like, and he gets, like, hit with the visions of, like, the iconic shot of the blood coming out of the elevator. So good. And then,
In the documentary I watched about the, the shooting of it, because there was, the camera guy was, like, I feel like they're really, like, they definitely liked Stanley Kubrick, but, like, they were, like, Stanley was never there on set. Like, he was there on set, but he was, like, never behind the camera. He's, like, watching from afar.
Yeah.
But, like, he was, like, the blood was, like, I don't know what they made it out of. I don't know if it was real blood or not, but it was, like, really dark and really rich and really thick. He's, like, I think it might have been ox blood. And I'm, like, thinking of the shot. And yeah. That's, like, a lot of blood.
It is a lot of blood for it to be real.
And then, like, the one dude was, like, talking to Kubrick, and he was, like, he walked up to him and he was just like, Kubrick did, and he was like, what speed should I shoot this at?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, like, just gave him, like, a number, and he's like, I knew it was going to be perfect. I knew that was the perfect speed. He was like, Stanley, listen, if you shoot it in the speed and we get it, like developed or whatever, and then you can look at it and we'll, like, see if it's bad or not. And, like, he did it all, and Stanley's like, wow, that was the perfect speed, how did you know? And he's like, I just knew.
Oh, I love that.
It's just like, okay, you're not cocky or anything.
Oh my god. Yeah, but, so yeah, so Danny gets, like, the visions, and then,
There's the twins. Oh, and the previous caretaker killed his daughters with an axe, and his wife.
Yeah, I forgot that's brought up in the interview right away, because I know, like, later, so, like, the thing that happens with The Shining, the movie, is, like, nothing's really explicitly paranormal. Besides
except for
things.
Yeah,
but, like, or it's like it could be kind
it,
of
it could
interpreted.
Be just Jack going cray cray.
Yeah, like, it could be interpreted like that. There's a few things that are just, like, very explicitly, like, this is ghosts here. I think, like, unlocking the freezer.
Yeah,
and then when Wendy comes up upon, like, the people in the room, the bear, and, like,
oh yeah,
that weird.
I think it blacked that out.
It's so weird. Like, what is that?
I have no idea.
Is that something that comes up in the book?
I didn't get that far, if it did.
I think I've looked it up.
The book moves slow as fuck.
I think I've looked it up. I think it's, like, something Stanley Kubrick added in.
I'm sure
just
he did.
To say fuck you.
Yeah, sure. It's fucking weird.
Yeah. But anyway, so the whole, like, mood and, like, it's hard to, like, relate this to the story because it is just kind of fucking
it's,
how it is.
Yeah.
So we'll just talk about The Shining.
Hi. Our Shining episode.
Yeah. But so the whole, like... I think the hotels and, like, the vibes are very different. Like, the ghosts are at that hotel because they, like, really liked it
yeah.
or whatever. But, like, the hotel in The Shining has a very, like, ominous kind of feel to it.
Oh, yeah, like, people go crazy in the hotel.
Yeah, like, it's a very different kind of, like, energy. And even, like, in the set design, like, it's confusing. Like, the door... Like,
oh, yeah, the whole set and how it was, like, laid out to, like, not
the make sense. Yeah, I say the hotel, like, if you actually, like... Because there's a lot of these, like, long Steadicam shots of Danny riding his tricycle around the hotel, which, again, like, if you've ever seen any reference to The Shining, you probably would... You probably knew that.
Yeah.
But even, like, those, if you map it out... It doesn't make sense, like, how stuff connects. And, like, there's, like, a window where there, like, shouldn't be... There should be, like, more hotel and, like, stuff like that. So mm-hmm. it's all weird. And it just gives this very confusing energy to it. It's
And it, like, great. 100% was not, like, a fault.
Oh, there's no...
Like, it was done on purpose. And
when... There's no, like... There are no continuity errors. No, like, any detail left, like... unsaid in a Stanley Kubrick film. So, like, that's why, like, online, everyone's like, this is on purpose. Like, very few yeah. people are like, oh, it was, like, a mistake. Like, no, it fucking wasn't.
Yeah, the documentary I watched, which is on YouTube, I wanted to watch Room 237.
Yeah.
But I don't have Amazon Prime, so I couldn't watch it. But the one on YouTube, I think it's called The Staircase to Nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, an hour-long documentary, and they just, like, interview all, like, the photography people and the directors and stuff. But they talked about, so there were the, like, B-team or whatever that shot, like, the exterior shots in Colorado and Oregon. Mm-hmm. And then there was the set, and they used every single, room or whatever on the lot for, like, the interior of the hotel. Mm-hmm. They're like, we used back rooms, we used, like,
oh, shit.
Like, break rooms, like, to build this whole, like, hotel.
Wow.
Because they built it all, and, like, all the doors had, like, adjoining, like, things mm-hmm. and stuff. It was really cool. I thought it was cool. And they built, like, the exterior of the hotel on lot. Damn. Movies are crazy.
They really are.
Like...
Yeah.
All that set shit, I'm like, that was definitely on location. And it's like, no, it wasn't.
Well, you know, like, it's like in how Harry Potter, the like, in the first movies when the, or, like, I think in, it's in multiple, but, like, the street he lives on.
Yes.
That's a set. Like, they built that street.
Yeah, I'd believe that.
Yeah.
Looks kind of fake.
It looks fake. But, no, like, that set. My dad's been there, actually.
Oh, my God, your dad's so cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they, like, took up every set. And there was a fire in... what I believe is, like, whoa, like, the living room area. Mm-hmm. It's a hotel that doesn't have a living room. But, like, the main area. But they were, like, done shooting there. And it was actually taken, like, after it lit on fire. It was, like, used by Star Wars. Because
oh, wow.
Stanley was like, we're done with it. We're done shooting. We can't, like, rebuild that set. So Star Wars was like, okay, my turn.
Yeah.
But during, sorry, tangent. During the fire, in the movie, there's this guy, Wendy, like, sees him and she screams and he's got, like, an axe cut in his head.
Oh, yeah.
He's, like, the previous
caretaker.
So he had that makeup on and he comes in. He's like, the paramedics keep trying to take me away because the paramedics that were there for the fire thought he got injured and he was just trying to get, like, his stuff from a back room on yeah. set and they thought that his, like, so the injury funny. Was real. So he comes in, he's like, make them stop.
Oh my God.
Which I thought was funny.
Yeah. Where was I in The Shining? Oh, okay. So Danny has the power. Jack's going crazy. Wendy's just there trying to live with...
God, poor Wendy.
Yeah, honestly. Poor Wendy and poor Shelley.
Yeah.
To fall. Holy shit. But so, basically, like, Jack then is, like... He goes to, like, the bar, and then there's... He starts actually interacting with, like, all of the ghosts of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, the bartender, and, like, he ends up speaking to who, like, we know as the, like... last caretaker who killed his family. And so he was talking to Jack about that and he's like, oh yeah, like they behavior need to be like corrected and stuff. And
that's not at the bar.
It's not at the bar. He like gets drinks spilled on him and then goes into the bathroom.
Fun fact, sorry. I was just really long documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry about that. Is they had that whole shot with like all those people there and then they realized that they had to shoot the conversation, like, because Stanley Kubrick is a crazy man and they had to like shoot the whole thing, but like he does like 80 million takes.
Yeah.
But with all those people, they like couldn't like do that like correctly, so they built the bathroom just so that they could have this scene and they could do as many takes as they want without all like the background characters.
Oh damn.
Yep. That's why the bathroom's really cool though. It's like all
right. So yeah, it is like it's a very like interestingly designed whole thing, but like makes sense though.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah, but so they're having this conversation about, like, correct he's, like, him. Yeah, correcting him. Because he's, like, oh, your son, like, wants to bring that guy here to, like, kind of shut this whole thing down. And then he's, like, oh, like, you're gonna let, like, your wife, like, raise your son like that. And, like, all this kind of, like, bullshit stuff.
Yeah, and he's, like, my daughters need to be corrected. And then when my wife got in the way, I had to kill her, too.
Yeah. And you saw his daughters earlier. Those were the twins.
Mm-hmm. That are, like, come play with us.
Come play with us, Danny.
Yeah. Oh, The Shining was the first horror movie I saw. I saw it when I was 4 years old.
Damn.
And I remember my mom, I was sitting on the floor in Florida.
You remember this consciously?
Yeah, I know, like, I remember the come play with us and the tricycle. That's, like, basically it. But then I know my mom came home and she yelled at my dad for letting me watch it. Because my dad was watching and I was just in the room.
Yeah. I don't know what the first horror movie I saw was. Nothing good. Probably, like...
Nothing good.
Like, I watched a lot of horror movies in, like, middle school with people.
But like, yeah, like, the first conscious horror movie that I saw and got scared of was, like, the phone call or the babysitter or something.
Oh,
like, the call's coming from inside the house.
Yeah. That's one of the horror movies my mom, like, the original one.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what it's called. It's gonna drive me crazy. But,
Black Christmas?
No, maybe.
That call's also coming from inside the house.
Yeah, but it's, like, it is its own
when
thing.
A stranger calls.
When a stranger calls.
Yeah.
I remember my mom saying that's the first horror movie she saw, and then, she was, like, babysitting all the time, and she was so freaked out.
No, dude, it scared me so bad. Yeah. I was like, I'm never watching horror movies again. Now look at me. I watched so many.
I think, like, I remember the first horror movie I remember, like, seeing in theaters was, like, I feel like I saw, like, Insidious or something.
Oh. So. That's not fun.
No.
Like, I mean, not, I love Insidious, don't get me wrong.
But it's not
But
like,
it's just, like, you weren't, like, a child, and you didn't, like,
yeah, no, it was, like, older.
Yeah.
Anyways, I forgot what it was. Oh. So,
bathroom.
Yeah, so then, like, yeah, they're in the bathroom talking, and he's, like, oh, you have to, like, correct your family now.
Yeah.
And, so then this is when, like, everything just goes crazy, and, like, Jack's, like, yelling at Wendy, and then there's, like, there's a lot of, like, very iconic scenes where it's, like, the bat up the stairs, and, like, Shelly's just going all crazy, and then, yeah, so there's, she's trying to, but the thing is, you see, like, Jack goes and, like, rips off the radio and, like, cuts the cords in the little snowmobile, so, like, they can't get away, they're kind of trapped.
Snowcat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're kind of fucked over.
And then, what's his name? I keep forgetting it. Halloran.
Coming
in.
He's coming.
He's got a vision.
Yeah, because he also has The Shining. So, like, you see him just, like, fucking dissociating in bed. Just like, whoa. And then he shows up, but, like, gets killed immediately by Jack with an axe. So Jack has his axe and is just out there, like, going to axe murder people.
Yes.
And, there's, like, this chasing.
There's the bathroom scene with the here's Johnny.
Yeah.
Which is a... It's a... Oh, and then Wendy sees the typewriter and all that he's typed is, like, all work and no play makes Jack a sad boy. I can't remember the
name. Makes Jack... Yeah, it's, like, some... It's just, like...
Over and over.
Yeah. All work and no play...
Makes Jack a dull boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just, like, this whole, all this, like, stuff is, like, all these details are just coming out, and it's, like, really creepy. But,
You, like, see that he hasn't been, like, writing his, like, story.
Yeah.
He's been typing that over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. But
which is creepy as fuck.
It is, like, especially when
then he comes in, he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. So, Danny gets away and escapes into there's, like, a big hedge maze outside. And he's in there, and then, like, you see Danny, like, Jack goes after Danny, and you can see him, like, he's running, and it's, like, snowing, so there's, like, footprints, but then he, like, kind of
backs. He is the smartest little boy ever.
Yeah, he, like, backs out and, like, then kind of hides and, like, starts covering his tracks. So then Jack gets lost, and then Danny gets out.
Yeah.
So Danny and Wendy escape, which is great, and then, like, you see a shot of... Jack is, like, frozen.
Yeah.
Then, outside.
Mm-hmm.
But then, the last shot...
is a photo.
I'm sorry, I was yawning.
Of, like, the... It's the, like, the big group from the dinner and, like...
Yeah,
like, it's 1940 or whatever.
Like, 1921, and it's, like, you see Jack is, like, in there. So it's, like, very ambiguous.
Because...
Ending. Like, what does that mean?
Because the, like, previous man that worked there... Yeah. The previous caretaker, he was, like, Jack... What are you talking about? You've always been the caretaker.
Yeah.
And then it, like, shows that he has been. Which I don't get.
I think the book probably explains that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Based on like most Stephen King adaptations where it's like, this is probably explained more somewhere else.
I think so, but like also... Like
It Chapter 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But also just like, I feel like maybe the novel doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I was watching my documentary that I was watching today. And Stanley, it was like after production. Mm-hmm. And like this other dude had like, he had watched the ending of it. And he told Stanley Kubrick, he's like, I don't like the ending. I don't get it. And Stanley Kubrick got really upset at him.
No.
Like very, very upset. And then like after the movie came out, like post whatever, Stanley called them and he was like, hi, can we still be friends? And then they like... Because I think it ended at just the, or like just a shot of like a Jack, mm-hmm. or whatever. It was something like that. And then like they like edited it afterwards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was weird. But Stanley Kubrick is a crazy man and I would never, ever, ever want to do any work for him. But he had like a team of people that he had for like various movies. Like all the photographers that were interviewed and mm-hmm. stuff. Or like his team. Like they had worked on other movies with him.
Yeah, he's very interesting.
He doesn't like to travel. It was funny, like, I really liked the beginning of the documentary was the, like, the exterior shots. Mm-hmm. So it was just, like, a two-man team. And they were like, it was me and Jack and our cameras, and that was it. And he's like, Stanley doesn't like to travel, so he doesn't go with us anywhere.
Oh, my God.
So they were just like, we waited till fresh snow, and then we went outside really early in the morning and shot the scenes.
Yeah.
And the iconic bug scene, stuff like that, they talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Does it?
Yeah. No, yeah. It is... What a man.
They did so many takes. But everyone that spoke in the documentary said that Jack Nicholson got it right the first time every time.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
And then there's this interview with this old lady, and Stanley had told her to go talk to Danny, the boy, whose uh-huh. name is also Danny. And she was like, make sure he knows his lines. And so she went up to him, and he was like... She was like, do you know your lines? He's like, I only practice my lines with Stanley. And then she went up to Stanley. She's like, he only practices his lines with you. And Stanley's like, no. And he walked up to him and he was like, you practice your lines with whoever I say you practice your lines with.
Oh my God.
And then, like, ever since then, he would not stop going up to him being like, do you want to hear my lines? I got my lines.
Oh.
And then she was like, no, I'm fine. I don't need to hear your lines. And then after that, she was just like, and then we say, like, go or whatever. And he would never know his lines.
Oh, Danny in The Shining is probably like the second cutest horror movie kid.
First one, Chucky?
Yeah.
Yeah. Andy! Oh, sweet. I think Danny's cute, but Danny can be creepy. Maybe it's his little voice.
I don't know. I think he's so cute. With his little bowl cut.
Little bowl cut kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so. And there's the whole woman in the bath thing.
Oh, I thought of that earlier, but I was like, I don't...
That's where I stopped reading. Well, I stopped listening. Because I was working at the 5 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, had the audiobook in, right?
Yeah.
And there's a scene when Danny goes into room 217. And he sees a dead body in the bath.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Stephen King goes so in-depth about... He was like, her breasts were floating in the water. Her pubic hair was all... I was like... I was like, why am I listening to this?
Why do you have to go into this much detail?
I was like, I love you, Stephen, and I love your novels and everything you say, but, like, your descriptions, like, you go so far in depth. Like, I was reading The Regulators, and there's this guy, and he's, like, flipping burgers in the barbecue, and he's like, my wife is taking a shower. I wonder. And it's just like, the water rolled off her hard nipple, and I'm like, okay. I was like, thank you, Stephen.
Oh my God.
How is this relevant? Oh, it's not. Thank you.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm a big fan of Stephen King. He's, like, my favorite author and everything. But, boy, the details. Like, you wonder why his novels are 8 million pages long. It's because of those details.
He needs to, like, swap with, oh, who's the one? Ernest. Yeah, Hemingway. He's just, like,
no details.
To the point.
Yeah. No. But it's fun.
Yeah.
Favorite book? By Stephen King? Under the Dome. Have you read any books?
I haven't read enough to, like, have a favorite of him.
Okay.
But I like Pet Sematary a lot, though. So. I have started many, but I'm bad at finishing
I have many started books. Many, too. Yeah. I have Under the Sunset, or
something. I want to go.
Which is a bunch of short stories.
I might commit and read The Shining.
Well, I have The Shining. I'm going to finish it.
Okay.
I'm going to fucking do it. Just kidding. I can't even. I got this really small book from the liberal arts building. And it's like a little thing by Stanley Fish. And I can't finish it. Like, don't get me wrong, I want to, and I could. I could physically finish it. Mm-hmm. But also, I don't have time. I have to write a blog about ethics.
Yeah.
I have to take a test, and it's 10 p.m.
Yeah.
What am I doing? I'm watching documentaries about The Shining.
Yeah.
How is this going to help me in life? It's not.
Unless this
but blows I did want to be a producer, or like an AP for movies. Mm-hmm. As a wee child, and I realized it's impossible for me as a human being to ever get into that field, because I don't live where movies are shot, and also I'm not competitive. Why am I a business major? But I just so like I'm incredibly interested in like the creation of movies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a fever dream, and it will never happen.
It's funny because that is my same fever dream. Just, like, not necessarily the same exact job, but I love making movies and, like, the whole thing. And, like, directors and all that. It's so interesting.
It's so fun.
It's so good.
I love things. I'm going to go home and watch the documentary. I'm going to give my roommate nightmares.
Yeah. We can... Listen, I have Amazon Prime.
Well, so does my roommate.
We can... But I thought you said it was, the documentaries on Amazon Prime, right?
It is, but I was at school.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna watch it tonight.
All right, I'm gonna try and watch it tonight.
Awesome.
It is late, though, and I do have class in the morning.
But don't we always?
I mean...
I've stayed up later.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yes.
That wasn't really a comparison, but honestly, what would I have said?
Haunted Hotel?
Yeah, like, what would I have said? It was Stephen King, and Stephen King, everyone knows, his movies are self-inserts. Yeah. He always has a little writer who's
That's true. Like, except I don't think Stephen King wants to be Jack Torrance.
No, but, like, I agree, but there is always...
I feel like the self-insert of The Shining is Stephen King as Danny. Mm. And maybe that's just because I read it, and, like, a lot of it is from Danny's point of view.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff from Jack's point of view, too, about, like, wasp nests and newspaper articles. The Shining's really cool because the book has clippings of newspaper articles in it.
That's cool.
Which I think is fun.
Yeah.
And I love it when books do that. Multimedia, am I right, ladies? But, like, I feel like... Like, I understand that Stephen King's a writer and he self-inserts himself as the writer. Like, Bill from It.
Yeah, like, Bill, that's, like...
Clearly.
Yeah.
But, like, I think... His self-insert would be Danny.
Yeah. For the sake of comparison, though, like, I'm not even going to get into it, because it's, like, an author in a hotel.
I get it.
An author in
a hotel. I know, I get it.
Okay.
And he was an author in a hotel.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening. Don't kill anyone. Before Monday, please fill out the Get Dressed Drunk form if you have anything that I do, like anything I say. Mm-hmm. Every time I interject Tess when she's talking.
Yeah.
Anytime I talk about things I've seen. That Tess could drink to. And we will get, I won't, but Tess will get alcohol.
Yeah.
For herself to drink and me to watch. I will make her mix drinks because I'm legalized to do that.
I'm allowed.
Yeah. I'm allowed. And it will be a fun, dandy time.
Mm-hmm.
And wish Tess a happy birthday.
Yeah.
Because she's turning 21, and that's really cool. That's like a benchmark.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Legal. Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, and check out Dead Meat's podcast, or Dead Meat's...
Shining Kill Count.
Kill Count.
It's on YouTube. We both watched it recently, and this happened to be good timing for this, so...
Yeah, he does a really good, like, history, or, mm-hmm. like, in-depth of The Shining, if you want to hear more about... the crazy work ethic of
Stephen King.
Stanley Cooper. Yeah, thank
Stephen King.
Cool. And check out the documentary Room 237.
Yep.
If you want to hear conspiracies about how he faked the moon landing.
Yeah. All right. I didn't talk about it.
No, you didn't.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.